Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Let's get to the guest hotline and welcome onto the show a buddy of the program, a guy whose content I love consuming. Kevin Clark of ESPN is with us to go around the horn ahead of the NFL playoffs. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
I'm just stunned about the Bradley Beal news. I can't believe that trade didn't work out, guys.
I can't believe
there wasn't a decade of evidence that this wasn't going to work.
Unbelievable, man. It was one of those things that was so funny to me that, oh, God, we're going to do the Bradley Beal thing again on the show?
We're still doing it?
We're
yeah.
doing it. I thought I was done. It was just like they just kept treating him like he was a superstar. I'm not a basketball scout. It takes 8 minutes to watch to go,
really good player.
Let's not super duper ooper duper max this guy. Let's not do that. And they just kept doing it over and over and over.
Yeah, I mean, I could do this all day with the problems with the NBA and the way they you know, everybody treats certain guys and the way the max contract is affects everything. But you can say the same thing in our dumb league with quarterback contracts. So who are we to throw stones?
This is a good point in our glass houses.
Indeed.
All right, let's get to the playoffs this weekend. Why don't we begin, because you're on in D.C., with the Commanders and the Bucks.
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football. Your thoughts on the matchup that Washington drew here?
I love this matchup. I'm not, like, in love with the first round of these playoffs. I think the divisional round is going to be, like, historic when you think about you could get Lamar versus Josh, all that stuff. But I really like this matchup. And what I like about it is, first of all, the Bucks. I got a couple mea culpas about both these teams. I was wrong about Dan Quinn. I was wrong about Cliff Kingsbury. More wrong about Cliff than Dan. I'll explain that in a second. With the Bucks, like, I think everybody in the media since Tom Brady retired has been sitting around saying, oh, well, you know, we're waiting for the real NFC South champ, and treating the Bucks like substitute teachers. And they just keep playing solid football and winning that division. And, you know, they were able to, and they've had some, you know, some hiccups this year. They didn't play that good against New Orleans, but I just like what Baker Mayfield does. I like the pressure they're able to consistently generate. And then on the Commander side, like, Jaden Daniels has been unbelievable. I knew he was going to have a really high floor year one. I went on Bill Simmons' podcast in August and named him, like, basically one of my top five guys to watch, just because I knew what the floor was. And I think I was even on with you guys in August and talked a little bit about that. But what I'm intrigued to see is how much he's grown since week one. I think he was the most scramble yards he had all year when they played in week one. How has he gotten different? Which team, frankly, can stop the run better? Obviously, Washington's had problems with explosive runs this year. I just want to see how these teams have grown over the course of the year. I'm fascinated by it.
So, Kevin, let's stay in the NFC here, big picture. So Detroit's obviously got the one seed. They got the bye, so you would favor them. But just in terms of everything else, who's got the best setup here? In other words, combine whatever factors you want, whether it's quarterback, coaching, health, momentum. Just who are you looking at and going, you know what, they've got a good road because?
Well, I mean, here's the issue, guys, about the NFC. Is it the answer is Philadelphia, but we don't know if their quarterback is playing. And even today, okay, so Wednesday and Thursday are the big practice days. We haven't seen Jalen Hurts in 3 weeks. And, you know, to admit, and who knows if he would have played last week if that game mattered or whatever. But, like, you know, Diana Rossini tweeted out that, you know, it all comes down to how he feels about things after this practice, which is happening basically in the last hour. And so, in theory, because of that roster, because of all of the other warts on the NFC teams, I'm looking at Philadelphia and saying, yeah, if Jalen Hurts is healthy, then they're going to win the NFC. But then that's a pretty big if, guys. I mean, we could see Tanner McKee here this weekend, and they could lose that game. And so, remember, with concussions, it's not up to him. It's not up to Jalen Hurts. It's about independent neurologists and all that stuff. And you never know. And guys, we've seen concussions linger for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months, and it's obvious. And those guys really can't play. And so it's really hard for me to say that Philadelphia has this runway, because they should, but then their quarterback isn't healthy. I mean, Detroit, you know, I was on the radio earlier, and I was talking about Detroit's run, and it's like the Top Gun scene. Like, you know, you need two consecutive miracles here, because, and they keep getting them, because they've got so many guys on IR. And they've got so many, and Aiden Hutchinson still, I think, is their sack leader and their pressure leader. He hasn't played since early October. Aleem McNeil, obviously, has been out for a number of weeks. Like, they're able to generate miracles in a sport where you shouldn't be able to do that. And so, to me, if Jalen Hurts isn't healthy, it's going to be Detroit, just because I can't bet against these miraculous happenings. But if Jalen Hurts is healthy, I think it's going to be Detroit, and I don't think it's going to be particularly – excuse me, Philadelphia, it's going to be particularly close.
So let's double-click on that, because I don't understand why nobody's giving Green Bay a chance in this game. Like, 2 weeks ago, when they were getting ready to play Minnesota – they were every bit as good as the Vikings, maybe the Lions. They were creeping up in the division. They went into that Vikings game. If it goes differently, they're playing for the top of the conference potentially. Now, maybe the answer is Jordan Love's elbow. He's limited in practice. He's saying today he's hopeful to play. And that's the whole reason that they're 4.5-point dogs. But, like, other than the Broncos with a rookie quarterback in Buffalo and the Steelers who can't move the ball, nobody's a bigger underdog this week than the Packers, who were awesome as of 2 weeks ago. What am I missing?
Well, I picked the Packers to make the Super Bowl before the season. And so if I could pick the Packers, I would. I would love to pick the Packers. But first of all, you mentioned Jordan Love's health. I really think that's something. I think he's been banged up all year. I think that he came out of that game on Sunday. Malik Willis came in, and I think it's something to watch. Again, it's really hard for me to project out when you're dealing with the health of the quarterback, because it's such an if-then. If Jordan Love was fully healthy, I think it's completely different. I think they do have a chance. We'll see what happens there. The other thing is, I've been really disappointed. And again, I'm sure you guys have had this, where you have a take. You buy stock in a team, and then it doesn't pan out, and, like, you're the guy who hates them the most because they made you look stupid. I was disappointed with how the Packers' defense developed this year. They were going to be able to generate a lot more pressure. They're so athletic. Brian Gutekunst really bets on athleticism. I thought with the new DC, Jeff Hafley, they take a step forward. Jair Alexander is on IR. He's out for the year. Lord knows what's going on with that situation. And so for me, everything that I was doing as far as predicting Green Bay was predicated on the defense taking a leap that has not come. So would I be surprised if Jordan Love goes out there, if he's fully healthy and has some awesome game? No, I think Jordan Love is one of the best young quarterbacks in this game. I think he's going to probably make a Super Bowl at some point in his career. But for this team, it's all been uneven. It's all been inconsistent. Christian Watson's out for the season now after an ACL last Sunday. Like, every little advantage I thought they were going to have, they simply don't have. And so to me, they're not on Philadelphia's level. They're not even on Detroit's level.
Kevin Clark with us here on GND, at by Kevin Clark on Elon's app. So you mentioned Pittsburgh, their opponent Baltimore. This is very, it's going to brush up against shouty show type stuff here, Kevin. So forgive the phrasing of the question, but what's on the line for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson here? A guy that, in my opinion, should win his third MVP this year, whether will or won't, and who knows. But it's just been so incredible, but the playoff success hasn't necessarily followed. Kind of what's on the line for them here, especially kind of in this first round against a known rival where they're heavily favored and they should be. But if they don't do it again this year, what's on the line for them?
Well, first of all, I want to preface this by saying that the Ravens are really good. They're a good franchise, and they're really good ignoring the noise. And I think the biggest indicator of that is if you're in the facility, like in a week like this, or next week if they play the Bills, the outside narrative never seeps in. And there's a lot of franchises that are really bad. And for a couple of decades, you guys had one right there in town where the outside media narrative was always was top of mind with everybody in the building. And Baltimore does a great job of keeping that noise out typically. That starts with ownership and empowering a coaching staff and Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta, and they don't care what's going on our, you know, the morning shows on ESPN. And so certainly, you know, the running back's not going to care. Having said that, if you lose this game, everything's under evaluation, right? Like, it's the Stephen A. Smith meme when he's on General Hospital. You're under surveillance. Like, everybody's under surveillance in Baltimore. Does that mean John Harbaugh gets an extra look? Does that mean some of the coaching staff gets an extra look? I don't know. I mean, they drafted well. I think the defensive coordinator hire has looked better over the past 6 weeks, let's say. Didn't look good in the first 10 weeks. I don't know what that is, but I don't think you can just roll into next season if they lose this weekend and say everything is going to be the same. I was so disappointed last year. There was a stat that just burned in my brain, guys, that they faced 38 light boxes against the Chiefs, and they threw 36 times in those situations. That was coaching malpractice. So now you get another chance. It's a harder road because you don't have the home game. You don't have the one seed. You don't have the bye. You don't have all that stuff. But they've got to salvage this era of Ravens football. They have to, and they have to win this weekend, or else. I don't know what the Ravens reaction is, but it can't be nothing.
It's a great point. And nationally, I think, you know, your quarterback's going to pay the price one way or the other from a narrative standpoint, which doesn't really matter, to your point. The point that actually does matter is that Baltimore is going to have to really take a look in the mirror and maybe do something different moving forward.
But that's the thing about modern roster building, modern quarterbacking, the quarterback's not going anywhere. You're not trading Lamar Jackson. You can't. And you wouldn't want to. What's even fair value for Lamar Jackson? So it's going to be on the coaching staff. It's going to be on the structure of the organization, maybe some defensive personnel, whatever. But, like, the quarterbacks are, like, you know, in the first 2 years after they sign their deal, it's like Supreme Court justices. You know, like, they're not going anywhere, especially if they're good. You can cut them if they're really bad, like Carson Wentz, but you would never want to do that with Lamar Jackson. He's going to be there. So then it comes, if they lost this weekend, who else is the scapegoat? Because it's not going to be him.
Another game that it seems like, you know, I'm taking crazy pills because I'm the only person that thinks this, apparently. I thought what Sean McVay did in Week 18 was a mistake to opt for Detroit, Minnesota loser over Washington with a rookie quarterback coming to your building. But what I'm seeing is not only from the odds, where the Vikings are only 1.5-point favorites, but most of the people that I care about and listen to and watch, a lot of them are kind of sneaky on the Rams here. They really like them. I don't know if it was the earlier season matchup there where they beat the Vikings. The stat I keep seeing come up is that the Vikings blitz more than anybody, and Matthew Stafford eats the blitz for lunch like I eat a Jersey Mike sub. And so that's just going to happen, and that's how this game's going to go. But man, oh man, I mean, the Vikings have been the better team all year long, and it seems like one bad Sam Darnold performance in primetime, and nobody cares about that anymore.
I thought it was so funny, guys, the amount of people who were like, well, Darnold shouldn't get a contract anymore. And it's like, whoa, we went from Darnold's going to make $150 million to Darnold is you know, going to go be a backup and with the Chargers next season. What the heck just happened here? If you're letting one game affect your roster building like that, you're probably a bad franchise. I don't think the Vikings are. I think, by the way, I've been on this all year. They should tag and trade him and roll with JJ McCarthy next year. Okay, but with the Rams, I agree with the blitz point. The Vikings, I forget what the actual stat was, but the Vikings, because they're so aggressive, they let free receivers go all the time at, like, the highest rate in the NFL. I think Puka Nacua is going to get open. I think Matthew Stafford is going to hang in there and find that ability. I think their defense in Los Angeles is criminally underrated because of how many young guys it is. That's just the two Florida State guys, Braden Fisk and Jared Verse, and Cam Kitchens in the back. Cam Curl is there. It's a really fast, young defense that's cheap and is only going to get better. I'm going Rams in this one. I think that Sean McVay is an amazing coach. I think Matthew Stafford gives them the quarterback advantage. They're obviously going to be at home. I probably agree with you that they probably should have tried to play the Commanders a little bit more. But I also think that, listen, Sean McVay doesn't play his guys in the preseason. He really values rest. And in an era where there's no buys, or it was only one bye, rather, and they didn't have a chance at it, in an era where you're playing more games than you ever have before, I don't hate to say, hey, you know what, screw it. Let's just get these guys an extra 5 days of rest, just let their bodies reset. I don't hate that. I think Sean McVay is the only guy who's kind of figured out what load management should look like in the NFL, and he's obviously made it work. And so I think from a vibes perspective, from a rest perspective, I think he's done a nice job, and I'll defer to him on that.
Speaking of buys, Kansas City's got one. They did not care, clearly, about that last game against Denver. No. A little extra incentive maybe to make sure Joe Burrow didn't make the postseason. That's only semi-kidding, by the way, Kevin. But they feel inevitable to me. Like, they're just now playing with their food in the regular season at this point, right? I mean, is it like Thanos with the Infinity Stones here? They're just inevitable?
Yes. I mean, like, I it's so weird because their post-take and post-analysis, because all of their stats say they shouldn't be this good. They rarely score 30 points. All of the records, like, have you guys seen the, like, the when scoring under 30 points graphic? Mm-hmm. And it's like the teams that do it as often as they do, it's like the Giants. It's like Tommy DeVito, you know? Mm-hmm. And yet the Chiefs are able to do this sustainably. Now, part of this is how good the defense is. Part of this is that Mahomes is just supernaturally good with Kelce and those guys at just finding his little holes and doing enough. And some of it's just luck. I mean, to have the block kick against Denver and all that stuff, that's not going to happen reliably in order to get you to 16-1 or 14-2 15-2. But yeah, I mean, like I compare Mahomes to Jordan. And the reason I do is because Jordan, unlike LeBron, change the legacies of everybody around him. And there are going to be people, whether that's Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar, at least a few of these guys, who, when they're looking back on their career, they're going to be ringless, and they're going to wish Patrick Mahomes never picked up a football or he stayed in baseball, right? That's Jordan to me. That's what Jordan did to all the guys in the 90s who retired ringless. That's why Mahomes, to me, is Jordan. And so until someone knocks him off, like, I'm afraid it's a little bit – remember – 2014, after the run of Cincinnati, how many people said, well, this is the end of Brady? And then everybody looked stupid. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl that year, and everybody was afraid to do any takes on Brady from then on out. And I wasn't one of the people who doubted Brady at that point, but even I was like, yeah, I'm never saying a bad word about Tom Brady ever again, because he can just figure stuff out. And that's with this Chiefs team. I think we've all learned our lesson by now. Like, don't say anything about the Chiefs. They're going to make you look stupid. And once that happens, you're almost post-analysis.
Kevin Clark with us on Grant and Danny. All right, before we let you go, I guess who's feeling the most heat, in your opinion, this weekend? Fair or not, whether it's reasonable or not, it could be a player, it could be a coach, it could be a team. Who do you think is feeling the most heat in this first round?
Well, the Ravens and the Bills can't lose. That's number one. I'm a little surprised that the Steelers, like, they're about to lose, and it feels like maybe nobody cares. Like, they're in such a tailspin, and Russell Wilson can't do anything. T.J. Watt has really disappeared over the past few weeks.
By the way, is Russell Wilson going to be back there? Kev, that felt like a lock a month ago.
I remember 2 weeks ago I had a guest on my show, and I was like, is Russell Wilson coming back? I'm like, I don't think so. And I was like, what? Like, and now the more they play, the more it looks obvious that they should kind of go fish in the quarterback market. But I mean, I'm looking, and again, this is pure speculation, but like, you're looking at this Pittsburgh thing and you're thinking, do they need to just shake it up? Is Mike Tomlin going to need to, you know, shouldn't the Bears just try to pay him $20 million a year? Shouldn't the Jets try to pay him $20 million a year? I was talking to somebody earlier today and I was saying, you know, what those franchises need with bad ownership is a coach who can tell the owner to go away, stay in his office. Don't talk to him about Madden ratings. Don't even open your mouth. And Mike Tomlin could do that. And listen, by the way, Snyder tried that with and it didn't work. But bad ownership needs good coaching to kind of course correct. And if I'm one of those teams, I'm really trying to trade for Mike Tomlin, because it just seems like at some point everybody might want to try to start something new.
Kevin, awesome with us as always, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games.
Kevin, be good. Buddy. There he is. Kevin Clark of ESPN. Six games. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Cannot wait. We are getting closer and closer.